similar text to what we saw yesterday, but by no means is it contingent upon a discussion from yesterday. Usually we discuss the well-known passage, the well-known Talmudic passage, the Gemara in Gittin, about the Churban, the destruction of Jerusalem. And we saw the cause, we saw the famous story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, of those two individuals and the party. Let's revisit that story again today. And I want to actually, yesterday we spoke about anger and hatred, and what does baseless hatred mean? And we saw that. What I want to do today is I want to actually take the same camera lens and actually want to focus out and show you a little bit more of the actual text itself. So let me share the screen right now. Okay, the big reveal. All right, here we go. This is the end of the passage from... I went too far. Yeah, here we go. So you will recall from yesterday that I mentioned that we started yesterday. You see where the mouse is? That's what we started reading from yesterday, the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. But if I were to go back one section of text, we're going to see something very interesting. And this section of text actually introduces the entire passage. Let's read this together, and we're going to see something quite fascinating. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan, the great leader in the Jewish community, at the time of the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, second temple, said as follows. My dichsiv. What is the meaning of the pasuk? What is this meaning of this verse found in Mishlei, found in Proverbs? Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid. Makshel Liba Yipol Bira'a. Happy is the man, happy is the individual who fears always, but he who hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. What does it mean? What does that mean that a person who is Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid? What does it mean a person who's always fearful? The Talmud, the Gemara continues. Akamsa Bar Kamsa Achav Yerushalayim. Jerusalem was destroyed, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Next, Atarnagola Vitarnagosa Charuv Turmalka, the chicken and the rooster. The chicken and the rooster, Turmalka, was destroyed. And the third one is Malka Ashka Derispak Charuv Beitar, that Beitar was destroyed because of a shaft on a chariot. Now, I don't know if you paid attention, but you'll notice I avoided using certain words in the translation that the English has there. The English translation is on account of. I don't think that's a proper translation, which is why I omitted it when I translated. I don't know if you're paying attention or following along in English. But I don't believe that is in fact true. In fact, you'll notice, you'll recall from yesterday, and I'll highlight it again, Akamsa and Bar Kamsa, we're not responsible for the destruction of Yerushalayim, right? As we'll see in a minute, if we're talking about a chicken and a rooster and a hen, you can't blame a rooster and a hen, an animal, for the destruction of Turmalka. What in the world could a shaft from a chariot, a wheel from a chariot, a peg from a chariot, how in the world are you supposed to blame destruction of a city based on an inanimate object, right? First example are people, then you have animals, then you have an inanimate object. So what, you're going to blame inanimate objects? Therefore, my theory is as follows. Just like you cannot blame an inanimate object for anything, it has no morality, it doesn't make decisions, it just sits there. Nor could you blame an animal. An animal doesn't have the same, there's no moral values of an animal. Animals do not make moral calculations. And just like you would never blame a rooster or a hen, just like you would never blame the shaft from a chariot, one cannot blame Kamsa and Bar Kamsa for the fall of Jerusalem. Rather, it's the account of, it's the story of, it's where these items, where these things, these objects, or these people were a catalyst for the destruction of the various cities, but they're not the cause. In fact, what is the cause? That is what Rav Yochanan is telling us. Rav Yochanan quotes this verse from Proverbs and says, I'm going to tell you the cause. Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid. A person must always be fearful. What does that mean? My friends, if we look at these three stories, we are going to see how people responded, people acted, And they failed to live by this verse. They failed to live by the verse of Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid. You see what this text is? Rabbi Yochanan says, what is the meaning of it? And then he lists three cases. Presumably, he's saying that this statement, this pasuk, this verse in Proverbs, in Mishlei, is modifying these three cases. That these three cases are examples of people who failed to live by Mefachet Tamid. Instead, they were Maksha Libo. Instead of being fearful, they harden their heart. And a person who hardens their heart, Yipol Bira'ah, will ultimately fall into mischief or evil or destruction will take place. And that, I believe, is what this passage should be understood. So it's a bit of a twist on what we said yesterday. Yesterday we discussed one idea. Today's a different idea. Let's take a look at these three stories. I will do the first one very quickly because we really saw it already yesterday. And in order to defend my thesis, I need to go over these three stories. Again, the last two are much, much shorter than the first one. Very quickly, and you'll notice something interesting. Akamsa Ubarkamsa Charav Yerushalayim. You'll notice that the text does not say in Hebrew or in Aramaic that because of Kamsa and Barkamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. The English is saying that, right? But literally these words are, and I understand, you know, the literal translations of the Talmud, you got to add a little more information. I understand that. But still, you don't have to translate Akamso Barkamso Chavushalon, that because of them, Jerusalem was destroyed. We know the story from yesterday. You don't destroy Jerusalem. Rome destroys Jerusalem, right? Let's take a look. Why did Rome destroy it? Let's go over what we said yesterday very quickly. And also, my friends, you have to understand, when there are names written in Tanakh, in the Bible, in the Talmud, in the Gemara, it doesn't necessarily mean those were their names that their mommy and daddy gave them. Mommy and daddy could give them a different name. Why are those names used? Often those names are used because of a thematic reason. The names are not literally. These stories shouldn't be taken literally. They should be taken seriously. And Kamsa Ubar Kamsa or is going to fit very nicely, unfortunately, with our pasuk, with our verse, when it comes to being stubborn. Who's stubborn in this story? You will recall from yesterday, there was a very wealthy individual whose enemy was Bar Kamsa and his friend was Kamsa. He told his messenger to go invite his friend Kamsa to his party that he was hosting. By mistake, the messenger invited Bar Kamsa to the party. At the party, the owner sees his enemy and says, what are you doing here? Get out. Bar Kamsa offers to pay for whatever he eats and drinks. Owner says, get out. He says, I'll pay for half the party. Owner says, get out. I'll pay for the entire party, says Bar Kamsa. Don't throw me out. Don't publicly humiliate me in front of everyone. The owner says, get out, picks him up and boots him out. He makes a comment, Bar Kamsa, and says, the rabbis were sitting there. And the great sages of Jerusalem saw what I did, saw what happened to me, saw what was being done to me, and they did not respond. I am going to get my vengeance on them. He goes to Caesar, and he tells Caesar that the Jews are revolting against him. And what will be the proof, says Caesar? Bar Kamsa says, if you try to bring a sacrifice, the Roman emperor always brought a sacrifice to Jerusalem. They always brought a sacrifice to the Jewish temple in the pagan world. They can bring sacrifices to many gods. Why not? It's not seen as a contradiction. And in fact, it might even be a fulfillment of what we said yesterday. King Solomon builds the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, and he sees the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, as a place that all nations could come and pray to the one and only God. So Rome regularly brought sacrifices to the temple, to the Beis HaMikdash. And Bar Kamsa says, see, Caesar, you bring a sacrifice, it will get rejected. And Bar Kamsa takes a knife and makes a blemish either in the ear or the eyes of this animal, which from a Roman perspective is not a real blemish. From a Jewish halacha perspective, it is a blemish and cannot be offered on the altar, can't be offered as a korban because it has a mum, it's a bal mum. When they wanted to bring this sacrifice from the Romans, they said, we can't bring this, it has a mum, it has a blemish. The people around, there was a rabbinic leader at the time, whose name was Rav Zachariah ben Afkalus. He said, we can't offer the sacrifice. even though it might lead to the animosity and the hatred of the Roman Empire. Why can't we do it? We don't bring animals that have a blemish on the altar. Even if it means we might lose our life, what are we supposed to do? We can't do it. People might learn a mistake from here. We can't kill Bar Kamsa. People will learn an erroneous rule, and they did not bring it. To that, the Talmud, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, remember this Rabbi Yochanan, who started us off with the pasuk from Mishlei, from Proverbs, Ashrei Adam Mefacheh Tamid, right? Praise be the person who is fearful and who is stubborn will fall to evil, says Rabbi Yochanan. The excessive humility, Invanu Sosho, Rabbi Zaman of Kalos, Hechriva, Espeisenu, Vesarfa, Esechalenu, Vegilanu Meritzenu, because of the behavior of Zacharvin of Kalos, because he was presumably stubborn. Mach Shelibo, he was stubborn. Because of that, our temple was destroyed. Because the Romans came and assumed there was a revolt, and they snuffed out the revolt and destroyed Jerusalem. I think what Rav Yochanan wants to say is, this has nothing to do with Kamsa Bar Kamsa. This has to do sometimes with failed leadership. There are two failures of leadership in this story. Failure number one, the rabbis, they sat around, they saw this event take place, and they didn't say anything. Sometimes, why don't you say anything? It's not my business. It's not my place. Keep quiet. No one's going to know. I don't want to mingle. I don't want to interfere. No. A leader must take responsibility. A leader, when he sees or when she sees an injustice, needs to speak up. That's point number one. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkalos, he was not being religious. He was being fake religious. He was being, what? Very narrow-minded in his decision. He didn't want people to bring a balmum on the Mizbeach, to bring a blemished animal on the altar. And therefore, he said, we can't bring it. People are going to learn an incorrect law. He is making a major, major mistake. What type of mistake is it? I want to show you Rashi's commentary, the great medieval commentator, on this passage. Okay, I don't know where Rashi is. I know Rashi's there. There's Rashi. Here we go. Here's Rashi. Okay, there's no English. That's fine. I will translate for you. No English? Really? Okay. We got it. Who wants to translate Gittin English for Safaria? They need help. Okay? There you go. Go help them. For now, I will translate. Because often a lot of the Rashis are translated. I guess they didn't get the Gittin yet. It's not so popular. Mefachei. What does it mean to be fearful? Says Rashi. Doeg liros ha-nolad. A person is fearful to see the future. Shelo teira'e takala. They will not encounter a fall. That you will, if you decide to do something. You might remember the famous passage in Pirkei Avos, right? Ezu chacham haro'es hanolad. There's two chachams, but this is the second one in Pirkei Avos. Who is a wise person? Someone who's ro'es hanolad. It doesn't mean the nolad of the moon like Rosh Chodesh. That's the molad. The nolad mean ramifications for your actions. That what you do, you don't want to see a takala. You don't want to see a mistake. You don't want to stumble. So you have to think, wait a second, what are the repercussions of my actions today? What will happen tomorrow? What do I do today? What I do today will impact tomorrow or next week or next year. I need to be cognizant and aware. And what do I do and how do I do? I can't just think of today. I must think of tomorrow. And as it says in Parshas Veschanan, Machar, right? Your child will ask you tomorrow. It says Rashi, quoting the Mechilta, Machar doesn't mean tomorrow. Machar means in the future. We have to be cognizant and aware that what we do today has ramifications in the future. Am I future oriented or no? Am I stuck in the here and now? That is a very important, important message that I need to be aware of. Am I thinking of the future? That is the first story. Let's fast forward to the next case. What's the next case? I'm going to move very quickly because we don't have that much time. The next case is... Yeah, there's a few cases in between. He says they're actually all connected to that Gittin case. Maybe we'll do these cases another time. They're really depressing. This is the Gemara that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to study Torah on Tisha B'Av because it makes you happy. But these passages do not make you very happy because they speak about the destruction of Jerusalem and terrible lessons that need to, important lessons that need to be learned. I just have to go to the next story. It's really far down and I'm just scrolling. Eventually we will get there and I will talk in advance because almost there. Here's the second story. The first story, there it is. The first story is about Kamsan Bar Kamsan. Oh, one more thing. What does the word Bar Kamsan Kamsan mean? Have you ever heard of the expression Egrof Kamutz? And Egrof Kamutz is a clinched fist. A fist that's held together. When a person is stubborn, that's their position. They are totally, totally stubborn. Their fingers come together. Their eyes, you can't see my face right now, but I look really angry, right? Their eyes like go narrow and their fist becomes clenched together and they're angry. That's the type of person that we are referring to with Kamsan Bar Kamsan. I have no idea what their names were, right? And it's shtick that the names are similar. What the Torah, what the Gemara wants to tell us is that this is a matter of being stubborn. By the way, it's a great message. When your fist is closed, all your fingers look the same size. Look down, try this at home. Look down, right? Look down at your hand and says what? All your fingers look the same size, right? Because when you're angry, when you're stubborn, the pasuk says, lo ta metz es levav, you're not allowed to be stubborn. When you want to give charity, what does it say? Patoch tiftach yadcha. Open your hand, it says in Dvarim. Because when you open your hand, you extend your hand to somebody, your fingers open up and your fingers are what? Different sizes. Then you realize that what? Not everybody's the same, that certain people need help more than others. When you have a clenched fist, all your fingers are the same. Your fingers are pointing towards you. It's about you. It's about I. Everyone's the same. But you have to realize that, no, open your hand, be generous, and some people do need help. Others maybe need much less help. But you only do so if patoch tiftach es yadcha miyar evyon. Amazing line by the Vilna Gaon. The difference between a clenched fist and a fist that's open and how you look at yourself and others. That was a side point. The second case in the Talmud, Gemara, is about a rooster and a hen. What's the story of rooster and hen? There's a beautiful custom. I'm going to move very quickly. There was a custom in a place called Tor Malka that every time a bride and groom got married, they would take out a rooster and a hen before them and say, right, as a good omen, be fruitful and multiply like chickens. Don't try this at your wedding. You can try this at your wedding. You know, it could be the other side might not be so excited to literally parade a chicken and to parade a hen down the aisle on the way to your chuppah, on the way to your wedding. You want to try it? By the way, the old, I don't know if it's still there, but the chuppah at Shari Shemayim, the canopy that was used for Jewish weddings at Shari Shemayim, had embroidered a chicken and a hen in it, which was beautiful. I guarantee you everyone looks at this chuppah and like, what's going on over here? I mean, there's bells and flowers, very pretty, but no one knows the difference between chicken and hen. It's based on this Talmudic passage, based on this Gemara. Amazing, amazing thing. It was a good omen that this couple should come fertile and have children. A beautiful idea. What happens? One day, a group of Roman soldiers passed by while a wedding was taking place, and they felt like chicken tonight. And what do? They took the rooster in the hand. They're like, food, great. And they took it from this wedding ceremony. The residents of the city fell upon them and beat them up. They're like, you can't take the chicken in the hand. This is from a wedding. It's a bad omen. The soldiers came and said to the emperor, the Jews are rebelling against you. The emperor then came against and caused a war and literally wiped out the city. Once again, we have the same situation where people were so stuck on the here and now. They were stubborn. They said, you can't take the chicken in the hand. What about this bad omen for this couple? They won't have children. We need to pulverize you. We want our chicken and hen back, right? We don't want you to make, whatever, chicken patties or whatever. No chicken fingers. We need our good omen. They were very short-sighted. They were so focused on the custom, on the minhag of that city, they didn't see the larger picture. That is once again a failure to abide by that principle of Rabbi Yochanan, Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid, that they failed to live by the notion of be fearful. Remember what Rabbi Yochanan said? Ezu Chacham, Haroas and Nola. You have to realize the ramifications of your actions, not just for today, but for tomorrow. That's the case by Kamsa Bar Kamsa. That's the case by the chicken and the rooster. Finally, the third case, it's much shorter. Did I go too quickly? The third case is, here it is. Here's the third case. What happened to Beitar? Why is Beitar destroyed? A shaft from a carriage. The Gemara says, there was a custom in Beitar, beautiful custom. When a baby boy was born, they planted a cedar tree. When a girl was born, they would plant a cypress tree. This is before JNF, right? They plant the tree, and what would they do? You can guess. When they would marry each other, they would cut down these trees and construct a wedding canopy for them with their branches, right? Tormalka focused on chickens and roosters and hens, right? In Beitar, they focus on what would they make? The wedding canopy, the chuppah, the user branches. Beautiful minhag. This minhag still exists today in certain communities. This custom still does exist, believe it or not, today. What do we do sometimes instead of the branches? We will use a talus, a prayer shawl from a grandparent or great-grandparent, right? You've seen that. So this is the custom that you construct the canopy, the chuppah, from, you know, from items that represented you, your family, from generations. It's a beautiful idea. It's a nice custom. Now, what happened? I will tell you what happened. One day the emperor's daughter passed by there, and the shaft of the carriage in which she was riding broke. Her attendants chopped down a cedar from among those trees and brought it to her. Owing to the importance that they attached to their custom, the residents of Beitar came and fell upon them and beat them up. The attendants came and said to the emperor, "The Jews have rebelled against you." The emperor then came against them in war. Once again, my friends, the exact same thing happens. There's a community of a nice minhag, nice custom, beautiful. Unfortunately, someone comes from the Roman who's quite important, it's the emperor's daughter, and needs some wood to fix her carriage. So she cuts down the cedar tree. This was understood almost as an act of a hideous crime. And therefore, they pulverized these Roman leaders. They pulverized these individuals that were with the emperor's daughter, right? That was probably not a smart move because the entourage that is coming with the emperor's daughter are very prestigious. You do not beat them up. You do not attack them. But they did. Why? Whoa, we must have a cedar tree for our custom. Once again, says Rav Yochanan, remember? He quoted that pasuk, and it modifies all three stories. The Kamsa and Bar Kamsa story, with two focus on today. What will people conclude today? What will people mistakenly assume today? The failure to look at tomorrow. The failure to look into the future. The failure to realize that sometimes your actions that you do today, while they might be justified, you must look at the bigger picture. What are the ramifications to tomorrow, to the future, to the community? Those were things that in all these three stories, the common denominator is that the leaders and the people failed to see the big picture, failed to see the ramifications of the future, failed on looking at tomorrow. Their vision was tunneled. Their vision was narrow. They responded to today, but they failed to respond to tomorrow. This is a very powerful message. The destruction of these communities sometimes, and destruction in our own lives that we lead sometimes, is due to the fact that what? Makshe libo yipo bera, that we're focused too much and too narrow on today. We, as leaders, as people, as students, as young men and young women, need to realize, and as a community, we need to realize and think about tomorrow, plan for tomorrow, and think about ways, not just what's good for me today, what's convenient, but what am I going to do today to ensure that I have a wonderful and happy tomorrow? That might be difficult today. That might mean, you know what, taking a step back and not pulverizing people, jumping on people. It might make myself uncomfortable today. It might mean I say nothing and I keep quiet. It's aggravating, it's frustrating, or maybe the opposite. Maybe something I do have to act, because if I don't act now, what will happen tomorrow? These are difficult questions. These are difficult questions we have to ask ourselves every day as individuals and as a community and as a family. But if we can understand, Ashrei Adam Mfachet Tamid, Ezu Chacham Haro Es Hanolad, think about what we can do. Think about what we can do today to help others for tomorrow. I believe we will come stronger, we'll be better, and it will lead to transforming these days to not days of sadness, but instead days of joy and days of celebration. May they come very soon. As we begin tonight, the 9 days, tonight is Rosh Chodesh Av, Menachem Av, as we look to comfort from our Father. Our Father in heaven, may comfort us among those who mourn for the destruction of Jerusalem. Shibana Beis Hamikdash, Pimhera Bimeinu. Amen. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you so much for joining. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.